out of my mind but that image of him free. And then, just as I go under, I think of her, the scholar girl. All that dark hair and those curves and her damned gold eyes. How he held her hand as they fled through the courtyard. The way she said his name, and how, on her lips, it sounded like a song. I swallow a mouthful of water. It tastes of death and piss. I kick out and fight the legionnaires holding me. Calm down. This is how interrogators destroy their prisoners. One crack, and he'll drive a wedge into it and hammer until I split open. Elias escaping. Elias free. I try to see it in my mind, but the image is replaced by the two of them together, entwined. Maybe drowning wouldn't be so horrible. The legionnaires pull me up as my world goes dark. I spit out a mouthful of water. Shore up, Aquila. This is when he breaks you.
Who's the girl?
The question is so unexpected that for one damning moment I'm unable to wipe the shock or the recognition from my face. Half of me curses Elias for being stupid enough to be seen with the girl. The other half tries to quash the dread blooming in my gut. The interrogator watches the emotions play out in my eyes. Very good, Aquila. His words are deadly quiet. Immediately, I think of the commandant. The softer she spoke, Elias once said, the more dangerous she was. I can finally see what the Northman pulled from his fatigues. Two sets of joined metal rings that he slips onto his fingers. Brass beaters. A brutal weapon that transforms a simple beating into a slow, bloody death.
Why don't we begin there?
Begin? I've been in this hellhole for hours. What do you mean? Begin?
This,
he gestures to the bucket of water in my bruised face,
was me getting to know you.
10 bleeding hells. He's been holding back. He's ratcheted up the pain, little by little, weakening me, waiting for a way in, for me to give something up. Elias escaping. Elias free. Elias escaping. Elias free.
But now, Bloodshrike.
The Northman's words, though quietly delivered, cut through the chant in my head.
Now, we'll see what you're made of.
Time blurs. Hours go by. Or is it days? Weeks? I can't tell. Down here I don't see the sun. I can't hear the drums or the bell tower. A little longer, I tell myself after a particularly vicious beating. Another hour. Hold out for another hour. Another half hour. 5 minutes. 1 minute. Just one. But every second is pain. I'm losing this battle. I feel it in the blocks of time that disappear, in the way my words jumble and trip over one another. The dungeon door opens, closes, messengers arrive, confer. The Northman's questions change, but they never end.
We know that he escaped with the girl through the tunnels.
One of my eyes is swollen shut, but as the Northman speaks, I glare at him through the other.
Murdered half a platoon down there.
Oh, Elias. He'll torment himself about those deaths, not seeing them as a necessity, but as a choice, the wrong choice. He'll keep that blood on his hands long after it would have washed off mine. But some part of me is relieved that the Northman knows how Elias escaped. At least I don't have to lie anymore. When the Northman asks me about Lyra and Elias's relationship, I can honestly say that I know nothing. I just have to survive long enough for the Northman to believe me.
Tell me about them. It's not so hard, is it? We know the girl was affiliated with the Resistance. Had she turned Elias to their cause? Were they lovers?
I want to laugh. Your guess is as good as mine. I try to answer him, but I'm in too much pain to do more than moan. The legionnaires dump me on the floor. I lay curled in a ball, a pathetic attempt to protect my broken ribs. My breath escapes in a wheeze. I wonder if death is close. I think of the augurs. Do they know where I am? Do they care? They must know, and they've done nothing to help me. But I'm not dead yet, and I haven't given the Northman what he wants. If he's still asking questions, then Elias is free, and the girl with him. Aquila. The Northman sounds different, tired. You're out of time. Tell me about the girl. I don't. Otherwise, I have orders to beat you to death.
Emperor's orders,
I wheeze. I'm surprised. I thought Marcus would visit all sorts of horrors upon me himself before killing me.
Doesn't matter whom the orders come from,
the Northman says. He crouches down. His green eyes meet mine. For once they are less than calm.
He's not worth it, Aquila, he says. Tell me what I need to know.
I don't know anything. The Northman waits a moment, watches. When I remain silent, he stands and pulls on the brass beaters. I think of Elias in this very dungeon not long ago. What went through his head as he faced death? He seemed so serene when he came to the execution podium, like it made his peace as he faced his fate. I wish I could borrow some of that peace now. Goodbye, Elias. I hope you find your freedom. I hope you find joy. Skies know none of the rest of us will. Behind the Northman, the dungeon door clanks open. I hear a familiar, hated gate. Emperor Marcus Farrar, come to kill me himself.
My Lord Emperor,
the Northman salutes. The legionnaires drag me to my knees and slant my head downward in a semblance of respect. In the dim light of the dungeon, and with limited ability to see, I can't make out Marcus's expression. But I can make out the identity of the tall, pale-haired figure behind him.
Father?
What in the bleeding hells is he doing here? Is Marcus using him as leverage? Planning to torture him until I give up information?
Your Majesty.
My father's voice as he addresses Marcus is smooth as glass, so uninflected as to be uncaring. But his eyes flick to me, horror-filled. With the little strength I have left in me, I glare at him.
Don't let him see, Father. Don't let him know what you feel.
A moment, Pater Aquilus.
Marcus waves my father off and looks instead to the Northman.
Lieutenant Harper, he says. Anything?
She knows nothing about the girl, Your Majesty. Nor did she assist in the destruction of Blackcliff.
So he did believe me. The snake waves away the legionnaires holding me. I order myself not to collapse. Marcus takes me by my hair and jerks me to my feet. The Northman watches, stone-faced. I grit my teeth and square my shoulders. I push myself into the hurt, expecting, no, hoping, that Marcus's eyes will hold nothing but hate. But he regards me with that eerie tranquility he sometimes has, like he knows my fears as well as his own.
Really, Aquila,
Marcus says, and I look away from him.
Elias Veturius, your one true love,
the words are filthy when he speaks them.
Escapes from under your nose with a scholar wench, and you know nothing about her? Nothing about how she survived the fourth trial, for instance? Or her role in the resistance? Are Lieutenant Harper's threats ineffective?
Maybe I can think of something
better.
Behind Marcus, father's face pales further.
Your Majesty, please. Marcus ignores him, shoves my back against the dank dungeon wall, and presses his body against mine. He dips his lips close to my ear, and I close my eyes, wishing more than anything that father wasn't witnessing this.
Shall I find someone for us to torment? Marcus murmurs. Someone in whose blood we can bathe. Or shall I have you do other things? I do hope you paid attention to Harper's methods. You'll be using them frequently as bloodshrike.
My nightmares, the ones he somehow knows of, rear before me with terrifying clarity. Broken children, hollowed-out mothers, houses crumbling to ash. Me at his side, his loyal commander, his supporter, his lover, reveling in it, wanting it, wanting him. Just nightmares. I know nothing, I croak. I'm loyal to the Empire. I have always been loyal to the Empire. Don't torture my father, I want to add, but I force myself not to beg.
Your Majesty, my father is more forceful this time. Our arrangement?
Arrangement?
A moment, Pater, Marcus purrs. I'm still playing.
He presses closer before a strange look crosses his face. Surprise, or perhaps irritation. He flicks his head, like a horse shaking off a fly, before stepping back.
Unchain her, he says to the legionnaires.
What is this? I try to stand. My legs fail. Father catches me before I fall, draping my arm across his wide shoulders.
You're free to go.
Marcus keeps his gaze fixed on me.
Pater Aquilus, report to me tomorrow at 10th bell. You know where to find me. Bloodshrike, you will come with him.
He pauses before leaving, and slowly runs a finger across the blood coating my face. There's a hunger in his eyes as he brings it to his mouth, licks it off.
I have a mission for you.
Then he is gone, followed by the Northmen and the Legionnaires. It is only when their footsteps fade up the staircase leading out of the dungeon that I let my head drop. Exhaustion, pain, and disbelief rob me of my strength. I didn't betray Elias. I survived the interrogation.
Come, daughter.
My father holds me as gently as if I were a newborn. Let's get you home.
What did you trade for this?
I ask.
What did you trade for me?
Nothing of consequence. Father tries to take more of my weight. I do not let him. Instead, I bite my lip hard enough to draw blood. As we inch out of the cell, I hone in on that pain, instead of the weakness in my legs and the burning in my bones. I am Bloodshrike of the Martial Empire. I will leave this dungeon on my own two feet.
What did you give him, Father? Money? Land? Are we ruined?
Not money. Influence. He is plebeian. He has no gens, no family to back him.
The gens are all turning on him?
My father nods. They call for his resignation, or assassination. He has too many enemies, and he cannot jail or kill them all. They are too powerful. He needs influence. I gave it to him, in exchange for your life.
But how? Will you advise him? Lend him men? I don't understand.
It doesn't matter right now. Father's blue eyes are fierce, and I find I cannot look into them without a lump rising in my throat. You are my daughter. I would have given him the skin off my back, if he asked it of me. Lean on me now, my girl. Save your strength. Influence can't be all Marcus squeezed out of father. I want to demand that he explain everything, but as we go up the stairs, dizziness surges through me.
I'm too broken to challenge him. I let him help me out of the dungeon, unable to rid myself of the unsettling feeling that whatever price he paid for me, it was too high.
Chapter 6. Liar. We should have killed the Commandant. The desert beyond Sarah's orchards is quiet. The only hint of the Scholar Revolution is the orange glow of fire against the limpid night sky. A cool breeze carries the smell of rain from the east, where a storm flashes over the mountains. Go back. Kill her. I am torn. If Keris Veturia let us go, she has some diabolical reason for it. Besides which, she murdered my parents and sister. She took Izzy's eye, tortured Cook, tortured me. She led a generation of the most lethal, ignoble monsters while they pummeled my people into servile ghosts of themselves. She deserves to die. But we are well beyond Sarah's walls now. And it is too late to turn back. Darin matters more than vengeance against that mad woman. And getting to Darin means getting far away from Sarah as swiftly as possible. As soon as we clear the orchards, Elias vaults onto the horse's back. His gaze never rests, and wariness suffuses his every move. He is, I sense, asking the same question I am. Why would the Commandant let us go? I grasp his hand and pull myself up behind him, my face heating at the close fit. The saddle is enormous, but Elias is not a small man. Skies, where do I put my hands? His shoulders? His waist? I'm still deciding when he puts heels to flank and the horse leaps forward. I grab onto a strap of Elias's armor and he reaches out to pull me flush against him. I wrap my arms around his waist and press into his broad back, my head spinning as the empty desert streams past. Stay down, he says over his shoulder. The garrisons are close. He wags his head, as if shaking something out of his eyes, and a shudder rolls through him. Years of watching my grandfather with his patience has me putting a hand to Elias's neck. He's warm, but that might be from the fight with the Commandant. His shudder fades, and he urges the horse on. I look back at Sarah, waiting for soldiers to come streaming from its gates, or for Elias to tense and say he's heard the drums sending out our location. But we pass the garrisons without incident. Nothing but open desert around us. Ever so slowly, the panic that has gripped me since seeing the Commandant eases. Elias navigates by starlight. After a quarter hour, he slows the horse to a canter. The dunes are to the north. They're hell on horseback. I lift myself up to hear him over the hoofbeats of the horse. We'll head east, he nods to the mountains. We should hit that storm in a few hours. It'll wash away our tracks. We'll aim for the foothills. Neither of us sees the shadow that hurtles out of the dark until it is already upon us. One second, Elias is in front of me, his face a few inches from mine as I lean in to listen. The next, I hear the thud of his body hitting the desert floor. The horse rears, and I grasp at the saddle, trying to stay on. But a hand latches on to my arm and yanks me off as well. I want to scream at the inhuman coldness of that grip. But I can only manage a yelp. It feels as if winter itself has taken hold of me. Give, the thing speaks in a rasp. All I see are streamers of darkness fluttering from a vaguely human form. I gag as a stench of death wafts over me. A few feet away, Elias curses, battling more of the shadows. Silver, the one holding me says, give! Get off! I land a punch to clammy skin that freezes me from fist to elbow. The shadow disappears, and I'm suddenly ridiculously grappling with air. A second later, though, a band of ice closes about my neck and squeezes. Give! I cannot breathe. Desperately, I kick my legs, my boot connects, the shadow releases me, and I'm left, wheezing and gasping. A screech shatters the night as an unearthly head sails past, courtesy of Elias's sim. He makes for me, But two more creatures dart out of the desert, blocking his path. "It's a wraith," he bellows at me. "The head! You have to take off his head!" "I'm not a bleeding swordsman!" The wraith appears again, and I pull Darin's sim from across my back, halting its approach. The second it realizes I have no idea what I'm doing, it lunges and digs its fingers into my neck, drawing blood. I scream at the cold, the pain, dropping Darin's blade as my body goes numb and useless. A flash of steel, a chilling screech, and a shadow drops, headless. The desert falls abruptly silent, but for my and Elias's harsh breaths. He sweeps up Darin's blade and closes the distance between us, taking in the scratches on my neck. He lifts my chin, his fingers warm. "You're hurt. It's nothing." His own face is cut, and he does not complain, so I pull away and take Darin's sim. Elias seems to notice it for the first time. His jaw drops. He holds it up, trying to see it in the starlight. 10 hells. Is this a Telamon blade? How? A patter in the desert behind him has us both reaching for our weapons. Nothing emerges from the dark, but Elias lopes toward the horse. Let's get out of here. You can tell me on the way. We race east. As we ride, I realize that other than what I told Elias on the night the Augurs locked us in his room, he knows almost nothing about me. That might be a good thing, the wary part of me says. The less he knows, the better. As I consider how much to say about Darin's blade and Spiro Telamon, Elias half turns in the saddle. His lips curve into a wry smile, like he can feel my hesitation. We're in this together, Lyra. Might as well give me the whole story. And he nods to my wounds. We've fought side by side. Bad luck to lie to a comrade in arms. We're in this together. Everything he's done since the moment I made him vow to help me has reinforced that truth. He deserves to know what he's fighting for. He deserves to know my truths, however strange and unexpected they are. My brother wasn't an ordinary scholar, I begin. And, well, I wasn't exactly an ordinary slave. 15 miles and 2 hours later, Elias rides silently in front of me as the horse trudges on. He holds the reins in one hand, keeping the other on a dagger. Rain mists from low-bellied clouds, and I've pulled my cloak tight against the damp. Everything there is to tell, the raid, my parents' legacy, Spiro's friendship, Mazin's betrayal, the Augur's help, I've shared it all. The words liberate me. Perhaps I have become so accustomed to the burden of secrets that I do not notice its weight until I am free of it. "Are you upset?" I finally ask. "My mother..." His voice is low. "She killed your parents." "I'm sorry. I..." "Your mother's crimes are not yours," I say after a moment's surprise. Whatever I thought he would say, this was not it. "Do not apologize for them. But..." I look out at the desert, empty, quiet, deceptive. "Do you understand why it is so important for me to save Darin? He's all I have, after what he did for me, and after what I did to him, leaving him."
"You have to save him. I understand. But Lyra, he's more than just your brother. You must know that."
Elias looks back at me, grey eyes fierce.
"The Empire's steel craft is the only reason no one has challenged the Marshals. Every weapon from Marin down to the Southern Lands breaks against our blades. Your brother could bring down the Empire with what he knows. No wonder the Resistance wanted him. No wonder the Empire sent him to Koff instead of killing him. They'll want to know if he's shared his skills with anyone."
"They don't know he was Spiro's apprentice," I say. "They think he was a spy."
"If we can free him and get him to Marin..."
Elias stops the horse at a rain-swollen creek and motions for me to dismount.
"He could make weapons for the mariners, the scholars, the tribes. He could change everything."
Elias shakes his head and slides off the horse, As his boots hit the dirt, his legs buckle. He grabs the pommel of the saddle. His face blanches white as the moon, and he puts a hand to his temple. Elias? Beneath my hand, his arm trembles. He shudders, just like he did when we first left Sarah. Are you...
Commandant landed a nasty kick, Elias says. Nothing serious. Just can't seem to get my feet.
The color returns to his face, and he plunges a hand into a saddlebag, handing me a palmful of apricots so fat they are splitting their skins. He must have taken them from the orchards. When the sweet fruit bursts between my lips, my heart twinges. I cannot eat apricots without thinking of my bright-eyed Nan and her jams. Elias opens his mouth as if to say something, but he changes his mind and turns to fill the canteens from the creek. Still, I sense he's working himself up to a question. I wonder if I'll be able to answer it. What was that creature you saw in my mother's office? Why do you think the augurs saved you?
In the shed, with Keenan, he finally says. Did you kiss him? Or did he kiss you?
I spit out my apricot, coughing, and Elias rises from the creek to pat me on the back. I had wondered if I should tell him about the kiss. In the end, I decided that with my life dependent on him, it was best to hold nothing back. I tell you my life story, and that's your first question.
Why? Why do you think?
He tilts his head, lifts his brows, and my stomach flips.
In any case,
he says, he pales again, a strange expression crossing his face, sweat beads on his forehead.
Lalia, I don't feel...
His words slur, and he staggers. I grip his shoulder, trying to keep him upright. My hand comes away, soaked, and not from the rain. Skies, Elias, you're sweating! Quite a lot! I grab his hand. It's cold, clammy. Look at me, Elias. He stares down into my eyes, his pupils dilating wildly, before a violent tremor shakes his body. He lurches toward the horse, but when he tries to take hold of the saddle, he misses and falls. I get under his arm before he cracks his head on the rocks of the creekside, and lower him as gently as I'm able. His hands twitch. This can't be from the blow to the head. Elias, I say, did you get cut anywhere? Did the Commandant use a blade on you? He grabs his bicep.
Just a scratch. Nothing serious.
Understanding dawns in his eyes, and he turns to me, trying to form words. Before he can, he seizes once. Then he drops like a stone, unconscious. It doesn't matter. I already know what he's going to say. The Commandant poisoned him. His body is frighteningly still, and I grab his wrist, panicked at the erratic stutter of his pulse. Despite the sweat pouring off him, his body is cold, not fevered. Skies, is this why the Commandant let us go? Of course it is, Lyra, you fool. She didn't have to chase you or set an ambush. All she needed was to cut him, and the poison took care of the rest. But it didn't, at least not right away. My grandfather dealt with scholars maimed by poisoned blades. Most died within an hour of being wounded. But it took several hours for Elias to even react to this poison. She didn't use enough, or the cut wasn't deep enough. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that he still lives. Sorry, he moans. I think at first that he is speaking to me, but his eyes remain shut. He puts up his hands, as if warding something off.
Didn't want to. My order. Should have...
I tear off a piece of my cloak and stuff it in Elias's mouth, lest he bite off his own tongue. The wound on his arm is shallow and hot. The moment I touch it, he thrashes, spooking the horse. I dig through my pack with its vials of medicines and herbs, finally finding something with which to cleanse the wound. As soon as the cut is clean, Elias's body grows slack and his face, rigid with pain, relaxes. His breathing is still shallow, but at least he is not convulsing. His lashes are dark crescents against the gold skin of his face. He looks younger in sleep like the boy I danced with on the night of the moon festival. I reach out a hand and place it against his jaw, rough with stubble, warm with life. It pours from him, this vitality. When he fights, when he rides, even now, with his body battling poison, he throbs with it. Come on, Elias, I lean over him, speaking into his ear. Fight back. Wake up. Wake up. His eyes fly open. He spits out the gag, and I snatch my hand back from his face. Relief sweeps through me. Awake and injured is always better than unconscious and injured. Immediately, he lurches to his feet. Then he doubles over and dry heaves. Lay down. I push him to his knees and rub his broad back the way Pop did with ill patience. Touch can heal more than herbs and poultices. We have to figure out the poison so we can find an antidote. Too late. Elias relaxes into my hands for a moment before reaching for his canteen and drinking the contents down. When he finishes, his eyes are clearer and he tries to stand.
Antidotes for most poisons need to be given within an hour. But if the poison were going to kill me, it would have already. Let's get moving.
To where, exactly? I demand. The foothills? Where there are no cities or apothecaries? You're poisoned, Elias. If an antidote won't help, then you at least need medicine to treat the seizures, or you'll be blacking out from here to cough, I say. Only you'll die before we get there, because no one can survive such convulsions for long. So sit down, and let me think. He stares at me in surprise, and sits. I pore over the year I spent with Pop as an apprentice healer. The memory of a little girl pops into my head. She had convulsions and fainting spells. Tellus extract, I say. Pop gave the girl a dram of it. Within a day, the symptoms eased. In 2 days, they stopped. It will give your body a chance to fight the poison, Elias grimaces.
We can find it in Sarah, or Narvium.
Only we can't go back to Sarah, and Narvium is in the opposite direction from Koff. What about Raider's Roost? My stomach twists in dread at the idea. The giant rock is a lawless cesspit of society's detritus, highwaymen, bounty hunters, and black market profiteers who know only the darkest corruption. Pop went there a few times to find rare herbs. Nan never slept while he was gone. Elias nods.
Dangerous as the 10 hells, but filled with people who wish to go as unnoticed as we do.
He rises again, and while I'm impressed by his strength, I'm also horrified by the callous way he treats his body. He fumbles at the reins of the horse.
Another seizure soon, Lyra.
He taps the horse behind its left front leg. It sits.
Tie me on with rope. Head straight southeast.
He heaves himself into the saddle, listing dangerously to one side.
I feel them coming, he whispers.
I wheel about, expecting the hoofbeats of an Empire patrol, but all is silent. When I look back at Elias, his eyes are fixed on a point past my head.
Voices, calling me back.
Hallucinations, another effect of the poison. I bind Elias to the stallion with rope from his pack, fill the canteens, and mount up. Elias slumps against my back, blacked out again. His smell, rain, and spice washes over me, and I take a steadying breath. My sweat damp fingers slide along the horse's reins. As if the beast senses I know nothing about riding, it tosses its head and pulls at the bit. I wipe my hands on my shirt and tighten my grip. Don't you dare, you nag, I say to its rebellious snort. It's you and me for the next few days, so you better listen to what I say. I give the horse a light kick, and to my relief, it trots forward. We turn southeast, and I dig my heels deeper. Then we are away, into the night.
Chapter 7 Elias. Voices surround me. Quiet murmurs that remind me of a tribal camp awakening. The whispers of men soothing horses, and children kindling breakfast fires. I open my eyes, expecting the sunshine of the tribal desert, unabashedly bright, even at dawn. Instead, I stare up at a canopy of trees. The murmuring grows muted, and the air is weighty with the green scents of pine needles and moss-softened bark. It's dark, but I can make out the pitted trunks of great trees, some as wide as houses. Beyond the branches above, snatches of blue sky darken swiftly to grey, as if a storm approaches. Something darts through the trees, disappearing when I turn. The leaves rustle, whispering like a battlefield of ghosts. The murmurs I heard rise and fade, rise and fade. I stand. Though I expect pain to shoot through every limb, I feel nothing. The absence of pain is strange and wrong. Wherever I am, I shouldn't be here. I should be with Lyra, headed toward Raider's Roost. I should be awake, fighting the Commandant's poison. On instinct, I reach back for my Sims. They aren't there.
No heads to lop off in the ghost world, you murdering bastard!
I know that voice, though I've rarely heard it so heavily laced with vitriol.
Tristus?
My friend appears as he did in life, hair dark as pitch, the tattoo of his beloved's name standing out in sharp relief against his pale skin. Aelia. He looks nothing like a ghost, but he must be. I saw him die in the third trial, on the end of Dex's sim. He doesn't feel like a ghost either. Something I realize with abrupt violence when, after considering me for a moment, he slams his fist into my jaw. The burst of pain that shoots through my skull is dulled to half what it should be. Still, I back away. The hatred behind the punch was more powerful than the blow itself.
That was for letting Dex kill me in the trial.
I'm sorry, I say. I should have stopped him.
Doesn't matter, seeing as I'm still dead.
Where are we? What is this place?
The waiting place. It's for the dead who are not ready to move on, apparently. Leander and Demetrius left. Not me, though. I'm stuck listening to this bleating.
Bleating? I assume he's referring to the murmur of the ghosts flitting through the trees, which to me is no more irritating than the swish of ocean tide. But I'm not dead.
Didn't she show up to give you her little speech?
Tristus asks.
Welcome to the waiting place, the realm of ghosts. I am the soul catcher, and I am here to help you cross to the other side.
When I shake my head, mystified, Tristus flashes me a malevolent smile.
Well, she'll be here soon enough, trying to bully you into moving on. All of this is hers.
He gestures to the forest, to the spirit still murmuring beyond the tree line. Then his face changes, twists.
It's her!
He disappears into the trees with unnatural speed. Alarmed, I spin around and see a shadow pull free from a nearby trunk. I keep my hands loose at my sides, ready to grab, throttle, punch. The figure draws closer, moving not at all like a person. It is too fluid, too fast. But when it's only a few feet away, it slows and resolves into a trim, dark-haired woman. Her face is unlined, but I cannot guess her age. Her black irises and ancient stare suggest something I can't fathom.
Hello, Elias Vitorius.
Her earthy voice is strangely accented, as if she's not used to speaking Saren.
I am the soul catcher, and I am pleased to finally meet you. I've watched you now, for a time.
Right.
I need to get out of here.
Do you enjoy it?
Her voice is soft.
The hurt you cause, the pain, I can see it.
Her eyes trace the air about my head, my shoulders.
You carry it with you. Why? Does it bring you happiness?
No. I recoil from the thought.
I don't mean to. I don't want to hurt people.
Yet you destroy all those who get close to you. Your friends. Your grandfather. Helene Aquila. You hurt them.
She pauses as the horrible truth of her words sinks in.
I don't watch those on the other side,
she says.
But you are different.
I'm not supposed to be here,
I say.
I'm not dead.
She regards me for a long time, before cocking her head like a curious bird.
But you are dead,
she says.
You just don't know it yet.
My eyes jolt open to a sky covered in clouds. It's mid-morning and I'm slumped forward, my head jouncing in the space between Lia's neck and shoulder. Low hills rise and fall around us, dotted with jack trees, tumbleweeds, and little else. Lia moves the horse southeast at a trot, straight toward Raider's Roost. At my movement, she twists around.
Elias!
She slows the horse.
You've been blacked out for hours. I thought you might not wake up.
Don't stop the horse.
I possess none of the strength I felt in my hallucination, but I force myself to sit up. Dizziness sweeps over me, and my tongue is heavy in my mouth.
Stay, Elias.
I tell myself, don't let the soul catcher pull you back.
Keep us moving. The soldiers.
We rode through the night. I saw soldiers, but they were far away and heading south.
Shadows have settled beneath her eyes, and her hands shake. She's exhausted. I take the reins from her, and she sags back against me, closing her eyes.
Where did you go, Elias? Can you remember? Because I've seen seizures before. They can knock someone out for a few minutes, even an hour. But you were unconscious for far longer.
Strange place. A forest.
Don't you dare fade out on me again, Elias Vittorius.
Lia spins and shakes my shoulders, and I snap my eyes open.
I can't do this without you. Look at the horizon. What do you see?
I force myself to look up.
Clouds. Storm coming. Big one. We need shelter.
Lia nods.
I could smell it. The storm.
She glances back.
Reminds me of you.
I try to work out whether this is a compliment or not, but then give up. 10 hells. I'm so tired.
Elias.
She puts a hand against my face and forces me to meet her gold eyes, as hypnotizing as a lioness's.
Stay with me. You had a foster brother. Tell me about him.
Voices call me. The waiting place pulling me back with hungry claws.
Sean,
I gasp out.
His name is Sean. Bossy, just like Mamie Reela. He's 19, a year younger.
I blather on, trying to force away the cold grasp of the waiting place. As I speak, Lia shoves water into my hands, urging me to drink.
Stay.
She keeps saying it, and I hold on to the word like it's driftwood in an open ocean.
Don't go back. I need you.
Hours later, the storm hits, and though riding in it is miserable, The wet forces me further awake. I guide the horse to a low-lying ravine littered with boulders. The storm is too heavy for us to see more than a few feet, which means that the Empire's men will be just as blind. I dismount and spend long minutes trying to tend to the stallion, but my hands refuse to function properly. An unfamiliar emotion grips me. Fear. I crush it. You'll fight the poison, Elias. If it were going to kill you, you'd already be dead.
Elias?
Lyra is beside me, concern etched on her face. She's strung a tarp between two boulders, and when I finish with the horse, she guides me there and makes me sit.
She told me I hurt people,
I blurt out as we huddle together.
I let them get hurt. Who told you that? I'm going to hurt you,
I say.
I hurt everyone. Stop, Elias.
Lyra takes my hands.
I freed you because you didn't hurt me.
She pauses, and the rain is a chilly curtain around us.
Try to stay, Elias. You were gone for so long last time, and I need you to stay.
We're so close that I can see the indent in the center of her lower lip. A ringlet of hair has come loose from her bun and spills down her long, golden neck. I'd give so much to be this close to her and not be poisoned or hunted, injured or haunted.
Tell me another story, she murmurs. I hear the Fivers see the southern islands. Are they beautiful?
At my nod, she prods me.
What do they look like? Is the water clear?
Water's blue. I try to fight the slur in my voice, because she's right. I need to stay. I need to get us to the roost. I need to get the Tellus.
But not dark blue. It's a thousand blues. And greens. Like someone took Hell's eyes and turned them into the ocean.
My body trembles.
No, not again.
Lyra takes my cheeks in her hands, a touch sending a bolt of desire through me.
Stay with me, she says.
Her fingers are cool on my fevered skin. Lightning cracks, illuminating her face, making her gold eyes darker, giving her an otherworldly feel.
Tell me another memory, she demands. Something good.
You, I say.
The first time I saw you. You're beautiful. But there are lots of beautiful girls. And...
Find the words. Make yourself stay.
That's not why you stood out. You're like me. Stay with me, Elias. Stay here.
My mouth won't work. The blackness creeping at the edge of my vision draws closer.
I can't stay. Try, Elias. Try.
Her voice fades. The world goes dark. This time, I find myself sitting on the forest floor. Warmth from a fire driving the chill from my bones. The soul catcher sits across from me, patiently feeding logs to the blaze.
The wails of the dead don't bother you, she says.
I'll answer your questions if you answer mine, I retort. When she nods, I continue. It doesn't sound like wailing to me. More like whispers. I expect a response from her, but there is none.
My turn. These seizures, they shouldn't be knocking me out for hours at a time. Are you doing this? Are you keeping me here? I told you. I've been watching you. I wanted a chance to speak.
Let me go back.
Soon, she says. You have more questions?
My frustration rises, and I want to shout at her, but I need answers. What did you mean when you said I was dead? I know I'm not. I'm alive.
Not for much longer.
Can you see the future? Like the augurs? Her head comes up, and the feral snarl on her lips is unquestionably inhuman.
Do not invoke those creatures here, she says. This is a sacred world, a place the dead come to find peace. The augurs are anathema to death.
She settles back.
I'm the soul catcher, Elias. I deal with the dead. And death has claimed you. There.
She taps my arm, exactly where the Commandant's star cut me. The poison won't kill me, I say. And if Lyra and I get the Telus extract, neither will the seizures.
Lyra, the scholar girl. Another ember waiting to burn the world down,
she says.
Will you hurt her, too?
Never. The soul catcher shakes her head.
You grow close to her. Don't you see what you are doing? The Commandant poisoned you. You, in turn, are a poison. You will poison Laia's joy, her hope, her life, like you have poisoned all the rest. If you care for her, then do not let her care for you. Like the poison that rages within you, you have no antidote.
I'm not going to die.
Willpower alone cannot change one's fate. Think on it, Elias, and you will see.
A smile is sad as she pokes the fire.
Perhaps I will call you here again. I have many questions.
I slam back into the real world with a harshness that makes my teeth ache. The night is cloaked in mist. I must have blacked out for hours. Our horse trots ahead steadily, but I feel its legs tremble. We'll need to stop soon. Lyra rides on, oblivious to the fact that I've woken. My mind isn't nearly as clear as it was in the waiting place, but I remember the soul catcher's words.
Think on it, Elias, and you will see.
I sift through the poisons I know, cursing myself for not paying closer attention to the Blackcliff Centurion who instructed us on toxins. Nightweed. Barely mentioned because it is illegal in the Empire, even for masks. It was outlawed a century ago, after it was used to assassinate an emperor. Always deadly, though in higher doses it kills swiftly. In lower doses, the only symptoms are severe seizures. 3 to 6 months of seizures, I remember. Then death. There is no cure. No antidote. Finally, I understand why the Commandant let us escape from Sarah. Why she didn't bother slitting my throat. She didn't have to. Because she'd already killed me.
Chapter 8. Helene. 6 broken ribs, 28 lacerations, 13 fractures, 4 torn tendons, and bruised kidneys. Morning sun pours through the windows of my childhood bedroom, glinting off my mother's silver blonde hair as she relays the physician's assessment. I watch her in the ornate silver mirror in front of us, a gift she gave me when I was a girl. Its unmottled surface is the specialty of a city far to the south, an island of glassblowers my father once visited. I shouldn't be here. I should be in the Blackguard barracks preparing for my audience with Emperor Marcus Farrar to take place in less than an hour. Instead, I sit amid the silken rugs and lavender drapes of Villa Aquila, with my mother and sisters tending to me, instead of a military medic.
You were in interrogation for 5 days and they've been worried sick, Father insisted. They want to see you.
I didn't have the energy to refuse him.
13 fractures is nothing.
My voice is a rasp. I tried not to scream during the interrogation. My throat is raw with the times I failed. Mother stitches a wound, and I hide a wince as she ties it off.
She's right, Mother.
Livia, who at 18 is the youngest Aquila, gives me a dark smile.
Could have been worse. They could have cut her hair.
I snort. It hurts too much to laugh, and even Mother smiles as she dabs ointment onto one of my wounds. Only Hannah remains expressionless. I glance at her, and she looks away, jaw clenched. She's never learnt to quench her hatred for me, my middle sister, though after the first time I pulled a sim on her, she at least learned to hide it.
It's your own damned fault.
Hannah's voice is low, poisonous, and wholly expected. I'm surprised it took her this long.
It's disgusting. They shouldn't have had to torture you for information about that monster.
Elias. I'm thankful she doesn't say his name.
You should have given it to them.
Hannah, Mother snaps. Livia, her back rigid, glares at our sister.
My friend Aelia was to be married in a week, Hannah snarls. Her fiancé is dead because of your friend, and you refuse to help find him.
I don't know where he...
Liar!
Hannah's voice trembles with more than a decade of rage. For 14 years my schooling took precedence over anything she or Livy did. 14 years where my father was more concerned with me than his other daughters. Her hate is as familiar as my own skin. That doesn't make it sting less. She looks at me and sees a rival. I look at her and see the wide-eyed, tow-headed sister who used to be my best friend. Until Blackcliff, anyway. Ignore her, I tell myself. I can't have her accusations ringing in my ears when I meet with the snake.
You should have stayed in prison, Hannah says. You're not worth Father going to the Emperor and begging, on hands and knees.
Pleading skies, Father, no. He shouldn't have lowered himself, not on my behalf. I look down at my hands, enraged when I feel my eyes burn with tears. Bleeding hells, I'm about to face off with Marcus. I don't have time for guilt or tears.
Hannah?
My mother's voice is steel, so unlike her usual gentle self.
Leave!
My sister lifts her chin in challenge before turning and ambling out, as if it's her idea to go. You'd have made an excellent mask, sister.
Livy, Mother says after a minute, make sure she doesn't take her anger out on the slaves.
Probably too late for that, Livy mutters as she walks out. As I try to rise, Mother puts a hand on my shoulder and pushes me down into the seat with surprising force. She dabs at a wicked deep cut in my scalp with a stinging ointment. Her cool fingers turn my face one way, and then another. Her eyes sad mirrors of my own.
Oh, my girl,
she whispers. I feel shaky suddenly, like I want to collapse into her arms and never leave their safety. Instead, I push her hands away.
Enough!
Better she think me impatient than too soft. I cannot show her the wounded parts of me. I cannot show anyone those parts. Not when my strength is the only thing that will serve me now, and not when I'm minutes away from meeting with the snake.
I have a mission for you,
he'd said. What will he have me do? Quell the revolution? Punish the scholars for their insurrection? Too easy. Worse possibilities come to mind. I try not to think about them. Beside me, Mother sighs. Her eyes fill, and I stiffen. I'm about as good with tears as